So we've been talking about the lack of vocal witness and where that comes from. We saw, first of all, about fear. Remember that? We said we all have fear. We're all going to have to deal with it. And there are ways we can deal with it. If you go back to that lesson, you can see that from the scriptures. And then we talked about the lack of urgency. Where is the concern for the misbelievers all around us? But I think the most important one is the one we're going to be talking about today. When it comes right down to it, yes, fear is part of it. Lack of urgency is part of it. But I think the basic cause is disobedience, that we neglect the commands of God. You know, Jesus majored in missions. When he was here, he wasn't a part-time pastor. Full-time. When he walked, when he sat down, when he slept, when he didn't sleep, when he ate, when he didn't eat, when he was with people, when he was alone, he was always focused on mission, mission. I have been sent by the Father. I have been sent by the Father. And that's what the Bible is all about. The Bible is a book of missions. The Bible was written for mission. John says at the end of his gospel, I have written these things so that you might believe. And by believing these things, you will have life in the name of Jesus. That's our mission to the world. Every single verse in the Bible, every book could have that written behind it. In the book of Genesis, or in the book of Ruth, or the book of Psalms, or in some of the prophets like Zechariah, or in any book in the New Testament, you could always put, these things have been written so that you might believe, and by believing, have life through Jesus Christ. We're going to talk today about disobeying the command to be a vocal witness. Let's pray. Jesus, your truth grips us. We have fear, and you have taught us, fear not. We still have it. We're going to live with it, and we're going to be vocal witnesses for you. We want your urgency. Sometimes we're so lukewarm. Sometimes we procrastinate. We want your urgency to talk to every person we know about what is coming. Now today, we want hearts that will obey you. We love you. Amen. So, disobedience comes from neglecting God's command. Here's one of the commands that we can neglect. It comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 7. God says to Ezekiel, he called him Son of Man, Son of Man, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. He commands him to warn them. Here's an interesting thing. I said a moment ago that one of Jesus' favorite names for himself was the Son of Man. He goes all the way back and takes it from here. And here's a picture. Imagine if God were speaking to Jesus here as the Son of Man and saying, Jesus, I have made you a watchman for the people of Israel, for my people. Hear my word and give them warning. And imagine if Jesus said, well, I'm afraid, or I don't have the urgency. He would be disobeying. Can't picture that of Jesus. He was perfect, never once sinned. And he obeyed on his mission. One of the commands that we can neglect is to warn people. We saw last time we met together that a person is born in sin, that sin remains on that person, that God's punishment remains on that person, and that one day if that person does not accept Jesus, that Jesus will separate that person from the true believers, and that misbeliever will spend eternity apart from him. That's why we have to warn people about what's going to be, and we have to obey that command. Another command we have to obey is the command to love. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 to 39, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, love your neighbor as yourself. Hard job. That means if your neighbor says something to you, you won't say it back. That means if another person cheats you, you won't cheat them back. That means if another person never does anything for you, you'll still do things for that person. That's all that means here. But you know what else it means? How can you love that neighbor, that person, as yourself? Picture yourself now, a Christian. Imagine if you didn't know about Jesus. Imagine if you didn't pay any attention to God, or you thought, good old God, He's going to forgive everything, or He doesn't even worry. Imagine if you believe that when you die, that's it. You're put in the ground and nothing more. And then imagine being wrong. Imagine standing before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ and hearing that verdict. I don't know you. Go to the left. Wouldn't you want somebody to tell you? Wouldn't you want someone to be a neighbor to you? As you love yourself, wouldn't you want somebody else to love you? We have to obey that command to love others. There's another command. Jesus said, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. What's the most important thing somebody could give you? You might say, I need some money. You might say, I need some shoes or some flip-flops. You might say, I need a friend. You might say, we need clean water in this village. We need justice from a corrupt government, whatever it might be. But if you knew that the judgment was coming, wouldn't you want to give them the best thing that you could ever receive? Isn't that Jesus? What would you like others to do to you? You say, oh, I believe in God. They say, oh, that's fine. You say, I don't believe there's any God. They say, that's all right. It's your right to be free. You say, oh, I don't think God's going to worry about that. They say, well, that's up to you. Would you want that? Imagine if you were standing in danger and somebody didn't tell you, watch out, that truck's coming. Imagine if they noticed that your roof was going to fall in and they wouldn't warn you about your children inside. Imagine if people didn't care about you. Is that the way we look to those who aren't saved? Look around you at the people you know, the name you wrote down in our last lesson. And if you were them, what would you most want to have done to you? You know pretty well, don't you? To tell you about Jesus. There's another command, and these are all commands. There's another command that we neglect, and that's to make disciples. Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. That's what we have to do. You and I, to make disciples of all nations. Do you notice? This isn't a suggestion. Jesus doesn't say, you know, it'd be nice if maybe. But He looked them in the eye and He said, I want you to make disciples. That's My command. If we're not doing it, we're disobeying. And one more command that we can neglect is a command to be. He says in Acts 1 verse 8, and you will be My witnesses. We're going to be talking about this in a lesson, the next one or the one after, about what it means to be My witnesses. But you know what it says here? That's what we are to be. When you're in the store, when you're driving your car, when you're teaching the class, when you're painting the house, when you're sitting around the table with family, when you're in the operating room, no matter where, witnessing is something that we are. We shall be. He commands us, be My witnesses. And sometimes people say, what is there about that that you don't understand. Jesus says to us, be my witnesses. And if we don't speak vocally for Him, we are disobeying Him. Well, we not only neglect commands, but one of the ways that we disobey is that we fail to respond. For example, we fail to respond to responsibility. God is speaking again to His watchman, Ezekiel, in chapter 34, verse 6. And He says to him, my sheep were scattered, and no one searched or looked for them. Isn't that sad? That there were prophets, there were priests, there were pastors in those days, and they were worshiping false gods, they were misbelievers. And God's looking down, saying, okay, now these are my people, they're going to go out and reach them. But they didn't. No one searched or looked for them. Jesus told the story about the good shepherd who went out, left all the people who already were saved, went out to look for the wandering one. But that's not true here. You and I have a responsibility. God has laid it upon us. God has said, we are His watchmen, and we have to warn those because we're on the wall and we can see the danger coming. That's our responsibility. And He says, but nobody did it. Was He speaking about us? We can also fail to respond to danger. Same thing with Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33:6. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet to warn the people, and the sword comes and takes someone's life, I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. Serious business here. I don't know if you have ever heard of a book or not by the name of Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. It's the only book that outsold the Bible for a long time. And he tells a story in there of a man he calls Christian who is walking toward the celestial city. And he goes back home to talk to his wife, to his children, to the people in his village. They just laugh at him. They don't want to hear his warning. He's not responsible for them. But this verse says, but if you see the danger coming and you don't warn them, my watchman, if you're standing on the walls and you can look down and say, there comes the enemy, and you don't say anything, you just sit back in your lawn chair and take it easy, they will perish. You'll be responsible. We can fail to respond to the danger that we see people standing in. People around us look like nothing's going to happen. In Psalm 73, it says they're standing on a slippery rock. And all too soon, they're going to fall down. We have to respond to the danger around us. We can also fail to respond to priorities. People in Jesus' day did that. He said to them, some of the people who didn't like Him very well, because if they liked Him, they'd be doing what He wanted them to do. But in Matthew 23, verse 23, He says, woe to you. You give a tenth of your spices, but you have neglected the more important matters. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And in that, it's kind of funny. I just wonder if people who heard Him laughed because they pictured people going home, taking the cover off the salt shaker, taking out 10%, taking the cover off the pepper, taking out 10%, taking the cover off the other spices, because they so much wanted to do the right thing. We're not going to be disappointing God. Jesus said, you know what? You do all that religious stuff, but you're not showing mercy. You're not showing love. You're not telling them the truth, the more important matters. Now notice, He doesn't say, give up your faith, give up your religious practice, that doesn't matter. Oh no, that's very important in the life of a believer, of a true believer. But He's saying, don't neglect priorities. It's true that you want to practice your faith, But don't neglect the fact that misbelievers have to hear about me. And all that other stuff that we spend time on is good. But don't forget to neglect telling people about forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I'm not saying give up your church. I'm not saying give up your daily devotion. I'm not saying stop your Christian practices. Jesus wouldn't either. But he's saying do that, and alongside that, keep the priorities that people have to be saved. Another thing we can fail to respond to is to need. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 45, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." You know what Jesus was talking about there? He sort of sets up a picture of the end of the world. And he said, people are going to be standing before me. I'm going to say, thanks for helping me. And they'll say, when did we help you? And he said, remember that poor person you gave some money to? Remember that hungry person you gave some food to me? That person with no clothes, you fed him. The person who was sick, you visited him. The person in prison, you went to see him. That was me. They're going to say, well, we never saw you. I know, he said, but that was me. And then he's going to say to others, remember when that person was so poor and you wouldn't help him? Remember that person was hungry, you wouldn't share your food? Remember that person was sick, you didn't have time to visit him? That person was so thirsty, you wouldn't share your water? That person, those people in jail, they suffer so terribly the way they're treated, you didn't bother to go see them? You didn't do that to me. And they say, Jesus, we never saw you. He said, well, you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. And when you didn't share the gospel with someone unsaved, you are not sharing the gospel with me. And we have to respond to need all around us. We can also fail to respond to our ability. Luke 22:47, it says, the servant who knows his master's will and does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. You know, if you're a servant, you have ability. God has given you ability. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus. Just like that servant in the home, he knew he had to dust the windowsills. He knew he had to vacuum. He knew he had to paint. He knew he had to keep the animals safe. He knew he had to get the meals ready. And if he doesn't do it, he's in trouble. And Jesus says the same with us. We have the ability to do all these things. We have the ability to work and everything else, ability to talk. We have to use it for him. James said, if anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. That's powerful. I don't have to say much about that. But we know by now that we ought to be these vocal witnesses for Jesus. And if we're not obeying him. You know, I want to tell you a story. It was in our newspaper. The headline was, Stranger's Knowing Eye Saves a Man's Life. This man was in a restaurant, and during the dinner he went up to go to the restroom. And while he's in the bathroom, another man came up to him and said, listen, you don't know me, but I'm a doctor. And I saw a condition in your throat and in your face that if you don't deal with it, you're going to die. So the man went to the hospital, found out that he had a certain disease. They were able to take care of it there, and he spared his life. Are we willing to be that kind of stranger? We can look at anyone who does not trust Jesus and say, there's something about you, and if you don't deal with it, you're going to die. Jesus wants us to obey him and be his vocal witness.